Hey, my beauties. Enjoying this podcast? Head over to the Anchor app and leave us a voicemail and tell us how you really feel, as well as any ideas you have for future episodes. Would you like to leave a review? Head on over to our other platforms. You can reach us at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. Ordinary women doing extraordinary things is just what we do. Hey, my Alchemy Chic family. I am back with another one of our Alchemy Chic influencers of the day. This young lady I have actually, we haven't met in person, but I have known her for about a year and a half or so. And we met through a program that has completely changed my life in several times over. She is a mom, she is a business owner, a beauty entrepreneur, master color expert. She has been acknowledged by one of the largest hair color brands in our industry, which is, well, she's been recognized as one of the top 10 colorists in the nation. And so I wanted to have this conversation with her because although we have not met face to face, a lot of the ways that she moves within her business, as well as the way that we have taken to each other and being encouragers of each other in business, I knew that she had to be an Alchemy Chic influencer because these are the type of people that you need in your circle where you may not have a physical connection, but there is something that draws you where you all are able to support and push each other. And she did that for me in many ways that she may not have known because she drops little spiritual nuggets in my DMs right at the time I need it. And it is always encouraging, and she has always pushed me and motivated me, whether it be through her work or through her words of encouragement. So I just knew I had to have this conversation. If you all can please welcome to the call, Miss Tamara, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for wanting to share your story.
Yes.
And I the thing is, what's going to be so fun about this is that I don't really know your journey. We've kind of met in a, we were dropped in each other's crosshairs,
right?
at a random. Okay, so let me just tell you guys what has happened. So we met virtually through a online course that we were doing. We were their inaugural class. They had never done it before. And this is through Wella Professionals. They had a master color expert program. And this was 6 months of intense, fast-paced learning.
To say the least, yes.
To say the least. And so through our chat groups, we had certain students that kind of, you know, we're drawn to each other, and she is one of my people. And so that's kind of how we met, but that's pretty much all I've known is from that point up until now. But I want to kind of take it back to before all of this and before all of your great accomplishments and being a bomb business owner and all of those things. But what drew you to cosmetology in the first place? Or was it a calling type of a thing? Or was it more so like, huh, I think I want to do that?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people laugh because people ask me the same question. And I literally say, I believe that I was born with scissors in my hands.
Oh, that is so awesome.
It has. I always wanted to be a hairdresser. But going out of high school, my parents always wanted me to go to college. You know how that is, like your parents push you to do into another direction.
Yes.
So I wanted to be a police officer.
Oh, wow.
So it was police officer or hairdresser. So when I got out of high school, I went to school for criminal justice. I was trying to get into a cadet program here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's where I'm from. And the police station actually ran out of funding for the new cadets.
Oh, wow.
So I said, well, I'll go to HAC anyway, you know, whatever. Well, and all this leads to where God has brought me to today, because when I was 18, I got pregnant my first semester into college. Mm-hmm. And it was a blessing because I didn't want to be there anyway.
Gotcha.
You know,
I hear you.
So, I got pregnant with twins.
Oh my.
Yes. My daughters, I'm 45. My daughters are 27.
Wow.
So right there, that made my decision. So I did not go back to college, for like a year or so, or almost a year. I worked dead end jobs and I would go into work and I'm like, this is not my life. Like, I can't do this the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So one day I went into work right before my girls turned one and I quit my job and told my mom and my dad that I'm going to school for hair. That's what my passion is. I know it. That's what I want to do. Like, I've always played with hair my entire life. And my mom, the first thing that she said was, you'll never make money doing hair. Your select few make it in the hair world. So guess what? That was my fire that I needed to fuel me. I always kept those words in my head. You'll never make it. And just went for it.
So in terms of, okay, let's back it up just a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So when you first got pregnant,
mm-hmm.
there is, 'cause you have basically two different things that you have to adjust to. A, just being pregnant, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, being pregnant with twins.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think kicked in for you at that time? Was it a actual thought process to say, okay, I'm going to leave school now? Or was it like, oh, no, I got to go. I got to make this happen. Or, you know what I mean? Like, was it a rushed kind of a thing for you?
No, absolutely not. No. So I've always been mature in a sense. I was the youngest in my class. I graduated when I was 17.
Gotcha.
So I would always hang with older people, which in turn made me a little more mature than a normal 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, okay, I've had my nieces and my nephews. I know how to change a diaper. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know the basics, how to make a bottle, whatever. So I'm like, I got this. I can handle this. And then when I found out I was pregnant with twins is when I was like, oh, what am I going to do here
now? Yeah.
So 27 back up 27 years. They didn't do ultrasounds like they do today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So at like 5 months pregnant, I find out I'm pregnant with twins. One of the baby's heartbeats was hiding the other one. So, yeah. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to adjust to the thought of you're having twins, you know? But I had a great family support. My family loves children. So, my parents were there to help me. My sisters were there to help me. And then, after I had the twins, then I had moved in with one of my older sisters, and like, I basically worked, she babysat, and I helped her with bills, you know?
Gotcha.
But I just didn't want that for my life. You know, yeah. I knew deep down in my soul that I had to make it for these babies, you know?
Yeah.
That I wasn't going to be a statistic. I wasn't going to be on welfare. I wasn't going to be in the system. It just wasn't going to happen.
So looking back, you know, in terms of, okay, you have the girls,
mm-hmm.
and you're working and you quit your job and you're like, I'm going to hair school. And you hear in your mind every day as fuel to mm-hmm. say, you know, you're never going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps to push you. But,
mm-hmm.
or I should say, in spite of all of that,
mm-hmm.
did you know that? Did you have a feeling or did you have an inkling or a nudge to know that you would be where you are today? Or was it just, let me get to the next right step?
No. So when I quit my job, mm-hmm. when I was 19, I quit my job. And of course I was always very prideful and I was always very, kind of self-sustaining, I guess. Like, I watched my dad work 18-hour days and just hustle for the family. Mm-hmm. So I had that in me. it was just in me. So I did apply for assistance for a half for and through the time that I was in cosmetology school, because mm-hmm. how was I going to make that work? You know what I mean?
Right.
I had two babies that I had to send to daycare so I could go to school. And, you know, financially I had to pay for school.
Right.
So the system was going to help me pay for school, and that's what it was there for. So they put me through school and I had to pay a certain amount back. You know what I mean? But as soon as I got my first job, I was making back then $4.15 an hour.
Oosh.
Yes. I took myself off of everything. The moment that I got a job, the day after I graduated from cosmetology school, I got a job and I just stopped collecting anything that I was collecting from the system.
Yeah.
Because that just, it was not going to be my life.
And you already said that you did not want that.
No.
Yeah. So you were really and truly like, I just need it for now. And then after that, I'm out.
I'm out. Exactly. Yeah. I tapped yeah. out as soon as I possibly could. Didn't want it. Didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't want my kids to see that their mother was young and just decided to just sit around and feel sorry for herself and be a yeah. statistic. That wasn't in my cards. So, when I graduated school, I actually, for about a month, I worked for a place that I was going to work for my aunt who typically does ethnic hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I was in school, there was this one guy who kept coming in and he sold himself so well. He like talked about his diversity in the business and he did models and makeup and wedding hair and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And it just was so intriguing to me that I told my aunt, like, hey, I mean, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I got to take this. I got to try this other direction
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to be locked into just one certain type of hair. I want to be diverse in all of it.
Mm-hmm. Was she supportive of that?
She was, and to this day, yeah, awesome. We support each other's businesses. Like, she does dreads and all that stuff. I do not. So I get a lot of phone calls for them though. So I send them over to her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So in terms of, cause I know we always talk about, or we message back and forth
mm-hmm.
about lifting each other up spiritually, mm-hmm. especially as business owners, you need to have people that are, I don't care how it has to come, but you need to have somebody who it's a little bit more than just numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have somebody in your corner that is going to lift you up and feed you spiritually, because that is what keeps you going.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just like, as you said, you have to have people around, like you said, who are going to lift you up and encourage you, because there's times that you feel down,
man.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. You feel like everything you've done, you keep getting kicked and there's something else. And then, you know, you have to have somebody come along to lift you back up.
Yes. Yes. So in that same tone,
mm-hmm.
cause I feel like there are two different types of ways that your faith can push you. Mm-hmm. As a creative,
mm-hmm.
because you can be inspired by a lot of things and that manifests in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I feel like, a part of your spiritual journey, fueling you creatively.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the entrepreneur side where, like you said, you're trying different things and you're really giving it your all and you keep getting knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a different energy yes. that needs to push you. So how has your faith helped you in either of those, as an entrepreneur and as a creative?
Yes. So I have learned as I have journeyed spiritually that if I don't continue to stay in my word and to stay in worship is the biggest thing for me. Mm-hmm. If I don't continue to stay in the spirit, you can miss a lot.
Yes.
You can miss a lot of those little blessings that come down, you know. For instance, I just opening my business. I have a woman who has a women's magazine, And she says to me as I open my business, Tamara, I want to give you a half page ad and I just want to give it to you. Mm. I don't want you to pay anything. I want your business to succeed. I believe in you. Till this day, 6 years later, my business has been open. She hasn't asked me for a dime for that half page ad, which cost about $1,000. She could charge somebody $1,000 for that page, you know? So
yeah,
I go through every day just thankful for the favor.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So two things you said that are like really, really key is continue to stay in what keeps you connected.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I hear you say staying in your word keeps you connected, and also worshiping above a lot of other habits keeps you connected.
Yes.
And so I do think that that is very key, because a lot of the times when I get off track, or because I'm very much so like, oh, squirrel.
Yes.
And and I can get off of my
But you know what? God will always pull you back when you're squirreling. He'll pull you right back.
Pull me right on back.
Like,
and sometimes I'm still like, but the squirrel, but the squirrel. And God is like, oh, come on here, child. Like,
you're about to miss a whole lot if you don't come back.
About to miss a whole lot, baby. Just listen to what I'm trying to show you.
Yeah.
But I do think that that is super, super huge, because like you said, in terms of, you know, you have this want to build your business, mm-hmm. but there's also nothing like the confirmations that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
And really having those God winks or those angels, mm-hmm. like the woman that gave you the ad, that is, I feel like, God's way of keeping you on
mm-hmm.
what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm a big purpose person.
Yes.
I believe that everyone has a purpose.
Yes.
I don't believe one is more significant than the other. I feel like everything is a different part that fits to the bigger puzzle of world and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of venturing out and opening your salon,
mm-hmm.
what do you see, or have you seen what the deeper purpose to that is?
Well, okay. So this is my salon now. We are way ahead of what my full story is. Mm-hmm. Just because I've been in the business for 27 years and 26 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. And I owned a salon by myself, NXT, which stood for New Extreme Talent. And this is all before Christ. I opened my first salon when I was 26.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's before Christ, but in hindsight, he put the vision in me.
Mm.
You know,
I'm trying to let you talk, but I'm so excited. 'Cause this is also my story. So go ahead. I'm so excited, but go ahead.
That's funny. So at 26, he put the vision in me, because I was not going to open a salon for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Like, my plan is not his plan, right. Even though I didn't know him back then and I wasn't serving back then, he still has a plan for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my first salon when I was 26. I had that for in one location. I had that for 4 years. It was thriving. I was in the high point of my career. We were doing well. I had a nice staff who was doing well. We were just all vibing. So I opened another location when I was 29,
mm-hmm.
29, close to 30. I was pregnant with my second set of twins when I opened,
Jeez.
when I moved that my first salon. So when I moved my first salon, I moved two blocks up the street. It was a 2000 square foot salon.
More from this episode in just a moment.
So I found that I was getting a little burnt out and decided to partner with another salon.
Mm-hmm.
That, and in my gut, I knew that that was not going to work. I knew it. I worked for the girl before and her husband, and their business sense is totally different than mine, but I saw a way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
So for 3 years, I tackled that place, and you know, it just, I knew it wasn't going to work from the first day that I walked in. Well, but the day that I decided to walk out of those doors, and remember, I was not serving the Lord at this point in time. The day I decided to walk out of those doors, I was standing in what we had like a little kitchen nook, and I looked at one of my receptionists, and all I saw was evil. And immediately I heard the words audible. I heard the words go. And I went.
And you're like, nope, I'm out. I don't know what this is, but this is not for me.
Right. The next day, I went job hunting and I found a job and I came back and I told my staff, we're closing in a month out of here. So, in between that time is when I got saved. So, as I'm working at this other place, the Holy Spirit was on me. I mean, I was holy fire. I mean, every other day going to church, I was preaching to my clients, I was planning an ego trip, but every single time I tried to do ego trip, a door shut on me because it wasn't my time. And when I look in hindsight, the Lord was trying to build me, build my faith, build my faithfulness, build my, what is the word I'm looking for? My love for him, you know,
Your
because
business being for him.
exactly,
I totally get that.
and not being for the world. It was something that I needed to do for him. Because that leading up to today, my salon is my ministry. He was preparing me to send me out.
And I think that's what I mean when, in terms of everyone has a purpose for, I feel like in ministry, I think people often confuse that too much with churchy. And I think we miss the gift in what ministry really is because we come across people, for you're with men and women. I'm with mostly women. And we come across things that are going on in their life where we are the only ones that
Connection.
can give them that nugget of hope or to give them some advice that can completely change their perspective on things for a better view. And so everyone has a ministry. I believe that. Everyone has a way to connect with people. And there are often times where even for me, God has scared me with, like he will do some things, and I'm like, okay, God, please don't make me the creepy Cleo woman. Okay, like I appreciate that I was able to really make that crying cry like that, but that was scary. Just warn me before you give me that. Okay, like
But if he warned
I wouldn't do it.
you wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it.
No.
But in terms of, it is amazing to know. And I think someone had asked me more recently, like, what keeps you going in your faith? And that is one of my things, is that God still speaks through me and to me and have me deliver messages to other people. And that keeps me going. It's not necessarily, like, oh, how art thou so mighty? Like, it's not that. It's knowing that I have a purpose.
And
And knowing that
walking in
as
it.
and walking in, and as long as he's still communicating with me, I am humbled, grateful, thankful, and absolutely in love and adore that whole relationship. But when was a time that God used you in your business that was unexpected, and you're like, okay, God, I see what you did there.
So there was a client that came in, and he was not my client. He was a client of my one stylist, a younger guy. He was probably like 21 or 22. And I looked over at him, and immediately God started speaking to me about him. And I was like, oh my God.
So I'm trying to focus on what I'm doing. I'm trying to finish my client, and immediately, like, things just keep dropping in my spirit, dropping in my spirit. So I'm cleaning up, and earlier that day, one of my friends from church had given me this necklace in a bag, and it had a mustard seed in it. And she said, "I want you to pray over this, and whoever God leads you to give it to, I want you to give it to him." So I was like, "Oh Lord, okay." And when I get these overwhelming senses, like, I just can't. I have to, because whatever God is dropping in me is not for me, you know. So as much as I wanted to walk away from that guy, I couldn't. Like, in the middle of his haircut, I had to stop my stylist. I'm like, I need to talk to him, like, right now.
Wow. I know he was like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. But what it turns out, God is so good. It turns out this young man has everything that God put in my spirit to speak to him was the truth. This young man was so grateful. And I told him, I gave him the necklace with the mustard seed in it, and he ripped it open so fast and put it on.
Oh
Yes. And look, I got chills just
my
thinking about this. So I'm speaking to him, and I said, "You know, God's showing me that you got the spirit of David in you, and that you've been through some rough times, and there's a giant in front of you, and he just wants you to keep walking and keep going and keep pushing." And I said, "What's your name?" His name was David.
Oh my gosh. I love those moments.
His name was David, and I only asked him what his name was because I like to speak to people on their name. So, I mean, I lost it. I lost it. And I just kept giving it. Things just kept dropping, dropping. So that in there is the biggest thing that God has ever used me to do.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's what I mean when in terms of like, oh God, please don't make me the creepy Cleo girl. But at the
Yes.
same time, when you have something that amazing happen, it is truly, there's a, first of all, you're re-energized, like you are hyped. There's a different level of hype
Oh
in
yeah.
those situations, but it also it keeps you going. It keeps you going. Like, you know, when they say when you give to others, it re-energizes and re-strengthens you. It really does.
It really
It
does.
really and truly does. And so with this whole COVIDcation that we have been unfortunate to be a part of, I would have never thought that anything that I do would be considered illegal in any way, shape, form, or fashion. In terms of, you know, once the city shut us down and said, you know, cosmetology, you all can't see your clients anymore, your business is shut down. I before that, I think I was in a place where I was just kind of like, where is that everything I'm gonna figure out, Rachel? Where did she go? Like, I need that back. And it was one of those like, okay, I didn't think it was gonna come back like this, but but I went into a different mode that I thought that I had lost. I didn't lose it. It was just not necessary for where I was at that time. So how has the lockdown redefined your faith and kind of readjusted some goals that you have as far as being like an industry leader and a beauty entrepreneur?
Yes. So, you know, when COVID was ha is happening, I mean, but when the lockdown was fierce and we were shut in for 4 months, the first like 3 weeks, I have to say that I was a little anxious. Well, a little anxious, a lot anxious, because what I realized about myself during COVID is that I'm a control freak. I like to control everything around me, and I never realized that about myself. But as an entrepreneur, I guess we have to be bit
That's a part of the
of,
territory.
right. So, our Bible studies at church, we had gone Zoom, and my pastor was awesome because she would go Zoom in the middle of the week to give us to just keep us encouraged. So through that, my faith grew like crazy. When I felt like
I was not going to make it through, you know, we didn't plan to be shut down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, I was a 2-person staff and I had just, my one girl had just moved to Philly and I had just hired someone on. So I was like putting money out. Every dime that was coming in was going out. But the crazy thing about that is God had showed me like 2 months prior to the shutdown. I kept feeling in my spirit, you only have 2 months. And I'm thinking like 2 months savings, you know how you have to have a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Like you only have 2 months and you could shut down. Your business could be gone. Like, and I kept saying, I know God, I know I'm trying to save. And lo and behold, it was a warning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because that month we shut down and guess what? I only had 2 months rent
mm-hmm.
to cover, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, from that, though, my clients encouraged me because within a day, they paid my rent for the next month.
Mm-hmm.
My staff was encouraging. I had a guy and a girl, and we kept in constant contact. My receptionist and the new guy I hired. We stayed in constant contact. And let me tell you, my business right now is booming.
Yeah.
I mean, we just did a whole remodel. I just said to my pastor the other day, I'm like, 4 months ago, I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. And today I completely demolished my whole salon.
And remodeled. It looks beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Don't worry, guys. I'll give her Instagram so y'all can go take a look. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's just been encouraging. And through it all, I continued to give God the glory and I continued my faith and I knew that he was going to have Ego Trip because he did not put Ego Trip in my path to let me fall.
And that honestly, so for me, when COVID hit, I don't know. And I remember telling my mom, I was like, this was before we were officially locked down.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept getting the feeling like you're going to be fine.
Yes.
That was the only thing I kept hearing is you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then when the lockdown came, I remember coming home and I told my mom, like, we're officially locked down. And her and my aunt went into like, you know, you could just see the worry come over their face. And I was like, but don't worry, like, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And they were looking like, how, Sway? How?
Right.
But it was just, it was just God giving me that comfort mm-hmm. to just say, no, you're going to be fine. And like you said, our clients, my mom just kept saying, like, the more my clients kept blessing me and just say, hey, Rach, we're just thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
You should really have this and just pouring into me. And my mom was like, who are these women? And I'm like, listen, just take it. It's a blessing. You know, I'm really, really thankful. I still have no idea how I'm going to.
Yeah.
In a small way, give back in some kind of a way. But I know it'll come when it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you were saying that you and your team kept in contact with each other. But did you feel like there was a certain, I don't want to say, did you feel like in terms of you being the owner of the business that all eyes were on you? Or was it more of like a collective comforting for you and your team?
One thing I felt was, thank God COVID is not my fault. Finally, something's not my fault. You know what I mean?
So I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Like this was out of my control. I couldn't handle, I couldn't do anything to fix it.
Right.
Because, you know, as people who are people pleasers, we're also fix it people.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I just kind of stayed in contact to see where their morale was laying. And, you know, the pressure was off of me because it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. And I would say I felt that same way. I felt almost like, whoosh, okay, I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is not my fault.
Right.
You know, like it was just kind of, I felt an unusual surrender that I've never felt before. Mm-hmm. I think for me, and I think from what you said, I think you're articulating it better than I could, but yeah, it was just that it's not my fault.
Same. Yeah.
Like, it's not my fault. So whatever happens from here, Jesus, you're on deck.
Take the wheel. This is all you.
You are on deck.
And, so, you know, I feel bad for people who don't have a relationship or don't have the faith, because there were a lot of, I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of anxious people, worriers, who were just like, I don't know where my next meal is going to come. Let me tell you one thing really quick. Mm-hmm. I was at the grocery store one day, and there was a man behind me who, in the midst of COVID, like, he was kind of close, you know, I was like, if you don't back up, he was kind of close, and the cashier person was going really slow, and I felt myself getting a little irritated, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I had to take a look at the cashier, and he was slow, like genuinely slow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So then I was like, all right, Tim, you need to calm down for a minute, mm-hmm. and just like let him. So I just started talking to the cashier, and my daughter was with me, and I in my mind, I'm like, you got to calm down because you got eyes watching you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but in my mind still, I was thinking, this guy needs to back up. Like, he doesn't even have his mask on properly, whatever. So when I was all done, the cashier rang out my bill, and I turned my back for a second to get my bonus card and my debit card. I go to put my card into the card reader, and the guy went and put his card in before I could get mine in there.
Oh, wow.
He said, ma'am, I'm from Tennessee and my church burnt down, and I know that I am supposed to be out here spreading the gospel, and this is not my money. This is not about me. He's like, I just want to bless you today.
Oh, wow.
My bill was almost $300.
Oh, wow. That is so awesome.
I stepped back and I was just in awe. And
you were like, bruh, if you don't back up.
If you don't back
not
up.
Not knowing. Yeah.
Not knowing that the man behind me was an angel that God sent to encourage me. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I always think of that. And I think, you know, you just never know who God is going to send. So you got to be on your P's and Q's all the time.
Yeah. And that's one of those, God winks
mm-hmm.
that I love when those happen, either whether it be he used me to do it mm-hmm. or he uses someone else to show me,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, I'm still here with you. Don't think that I have ever left you for one second. Okay.
I got you.
I got you. Mm-hmm. And so, in terms of coming out of COVID, and you were saying that you completely remodeled your salon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, in terms of, like, I feel like even looking at your page, there's a different energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a new revived liveliness to your page.
Yeah. Oh,
just, thank you. Just in terms of like looking at it. And again, guys, we've never met face to face.
Right.
But there is a certain energy that I get from you mm-hmm. in terms of being beauty entrepreneurs. And so what I've seen on your page is that there's not that it was lacking energy before, because it really mm-hmm. wasn't, but there's just a renewed energy, a brighter energy. Yeah. And so how have you, or what are some new things that you've implemented that your faith is like pushing you into new levels, mm-hmm. like whether it be new classes, getting more people added to the team, like what has given you this new boost?
Yes. So, you know, before COVID hit, I had a guy who literally just came out of school,
mm-hmm.
London. He was
who's extremely talented, by the way.
Extremely talented.
Yeah.
So I was really concerned with how I was going to do all of what I needed to do post COVID, like mm-hmm. when we opened, because my clients didn't know London, you know, nobody knew London. He was brand new. London stepped up in the biggest way.
Mm-hmm.
that you could not even imagine.
Wow. And
his energy is
what has fueled me as well. He's younger, he's 30, you know, and he's fresh in the industry. He's excited. You know, you always have to have someone new under you to keep, to boost you, to keep your excitement level. So he's really, really helped re-energize me.
That is really awesome. Yeah. That is really, really awesome. So how do you keep, because it seems like to me, like your team is, you all interact more like family as opposed to coworkers.
Yes.
And I know that that kind of energy has to be set from the top. So it's like, how do you implement and maintain that family dynamic in the workspace?
So my team is young. So I'm the oldest. I'm 40s, going to be 46. Then there's London, and then they're younger after that. So since COVID, I've added 3 people.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. This is like the best team that I've had in a long time. I'm really excited. But at the same time, they've all been sent to me by God. Because for the longest time, it was just me and my one girl who is amazing. She works in Philly now. But for the longest time, nobody was coming through my doors, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, why can't I get a new stylist? And then I relinquished it. I handed it over. I'm like, you know what, God, when you want somebody to come through my door, you're going to bring them through the door. And that's exactly what happened, one right after the other. So that's where the energy comes from. And they're all Christians.
That makes it even better in terms of you all being able to relate. And if things get a little bit too intense, like, we're taking this to God.
Yes. And we do.
God is going to settle the final word here.
Rachel. Yeah. And we do. We pray. We play nothing but Christian music in the salon, which sets the atmosphere. But if there's ever an issue, like, we are so quick to just talk about it and to move on, you know,
and not let it fester
and not dwell and let it fester. Yeah. Because we know that there's bigger plans. We've got goals. We don't have time to, just mess around with the little bull crap stuff. Like, we're grown. We're not doing that.
Yeah. So how, because in the past year and a half, there's been a lot of shifts in both of our careers. But how do you feel like the purpose in what you're doing has changed? I'm asking that because for me, even before COVID, even before doing the Master Color Expert class, I felt like my purpose was reintroduced to me in terms of, Rachel, you were put here to serve. And I know I strayed away from that a lot because I went into it's about the numbers and growing. And I went into that and I've had to redirect back into, Rachel, you were put here to serve. At the end of the day, you were put here to serve.
Yeah.
And so once I redirected that, not only was I not burnt out anymore from work.
You enjoyed more.
I enjoy it more. And it has also been one of the catalysts, I think, that has regrown my business. And so with that said, like, has your purpose changed, or how has it changed over the past like year and a half?
Yeah. So the MCE program definitely gave me, it opened my eyes to a lot of things of how I was not only approaching my guests, but approaching my color and approaching my business.
Agreed.
I definitely, through the course, I started to make changes, because if you're not going to make changes through the education, then why do it? You know?
Right.
So I started making the biggest change was booking more time with my clients, because I was like a machine before. I used to do every half hour. I would do a color, cut in between, highlight, color in between, cut. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's more about the serving and the quality and the ministering. Because we have a gift to minister to people. We have
we have a one-on-one space where we can fill people with the word of God, mm-hmm. and we can fill them with encouragement. Mm-hmm. So in me stepping back and not working like a crazy woman, mm-hmm. I've booked myself more time to be with my guests, to get to know them again. I've had people for 21 years, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? 22 years. But I told myself, I want to treat everybody like they're the first person that comes in the door again.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Literally, that is my approach now. Like, I want to treat everyone
like as if it was their first time.
As if it was their first time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they deserve that.
Yep.
You know? So that has changed my business dramatically. I mean, and my clients notice. They mm-hmm. notice that I'm taking more care in their work. Not that I wasn't before.
It's just a different energy behind it.
It's a different energy.
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree. And I'm experiencing the exact same thing. So I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah. It's all good. Awesome.
So through this journey, do you feel like, because one of my guests, she kind of reformed this question for me, but I've kind of kept it the same anyway. Mm-hmm. But because she said your purpose is a journey and not a destination. You're on your journey in your purpose. Mm-hmm. So I guess that I will rephrase it that way. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you are still in your lane and in your journey, in your purpose?
I do. And I'll help you rephrase that a little bit too. Because mm-hmm. we're always going to be in our journey and our purpose until we meet the King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we just have to, along the way in our journey, keep redefining our purpose to look more like what the Father wants.
And okay. So I will add on to that, because I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that I make it clear to the audience, and just let me know what your thoughts are on this. Mm-hmm. It's not only just making it clear and redefining your purpose for what God wants, but also what God wants from you specifically.
Correct. Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes people are like, well, what's the meaning of life? And it's like, no, what is the meaning of your life?
Right.
Like, there's a huge difference there, because you know, trying to take on the whole ocean, it's not possible. It's just not possible for one person.
No.
But just take up your cup.
Yeah.
Like, just take up your cup.
That's it. One person. I always say, we can't save the world, but we can work on them one person at a time.
And it's just your part. So thank you for redefining that even more, because I think that makes a huge difference in how people may look at things a little differently and not seem so overwhelmed by this ginormous picture,
right?
And just focus on their puzzle piece,
right? You can't save the world.
Nope, you sure can't. You sure can. And I my cousin gave me two things that I will never forget, and she was like, I have resigned from being Jesus to other people. Like,
yes,
like, just I have resigned. I'm not doing that. No, I don't want to, and it's just not my job. I am not meant to be Jesus for everybody. Jesus died for everybody. You go talk to him about that. I'll be here to encourage you.
Exactly.
Go on, my child.
Yes. you need some encouragement, I'm definitely here. But
I'm here. I'll be your number one cheerleader. But no, I won't be Jesus for you. Mm-mm. So where can people get to know more about your story and your staff? And if they are in your area, come and visit you to get their hand, get their head blessed by the best.
Yes. Oh. So they can visit. I'm locked out of Facebook, but my Facebook page is still up. I'm not able to communicate with people, which mm-hmm. I'm working on that. But they can visit my Facebook page, Ego Trip Hair Salon, mm-hmm. My Instagram page, Ego Trip Hair Salon, or my website, egotriphs.com.
Oh, nice. Thank you. So, thank you. Where are you located? Where is your salon located?
I'm located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Awesome. So I really, really, really want to thank you for sharing your story, sharing your journey. I have learned a lot that is even more motivating than before. And I don't take these conversations very lightly. I really and truly feel like everyone has a solid nugget to share to help somebody else.
Yes.
And so I really and truly just want to thank you for being a part of this project and contributing to helping someone else that may listen to this and get a little bit of something that could keep them going. I know I've gotten something from this conversation already. So.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much. I definitely know it's been a blessing meeting you and seeing your work, and I see how you bless them heads, and I watch every single one of your videos.
Oh, thank you.
I just love it. So you keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate you just being in my life. Yeah.
Thank you. Same here. Yes. Same here. Really and truly. Because I'm telling you, you always hit me in the DMs right when I need something. I'm like, listen, Lord, use her. Use her. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Alchemy Chic fam, you know how this goes. If you are listening in on this episode and you know at least 5 women that need to hear this story, please make sure you text them this episode and keep the encouragement going. As always, we are ordinary women doing extraordinary things. Love on yourselves. Until next time, my ladies, y'all have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.